It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
You wish. Quentin time on your Monday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Houston Crest, that's Bear. Tucker Harlan is here at the Top 5 at 5. What you got, Tucker?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee basketball has landed another commitment out of the portal in former Charlotte forward Igor Milicic. Milicic averaged 12.8 points per game and 8.5 rebounds per game, shooting 49% from the field and 37.6 from three for the 49ers.
Wonder how Burt's going to sound.
What about him?
Milicic. Excited.
Money.
Probably like that.
Money.
Johann Sebastian Bach. Fine composer.
Very fine.
Are you a fan of Haydn, Chris?
Sebastian Bach. Is that the dude from Skid
Row? I like Haydn. A buddy of mine reminded me of Vivaldi. You like Vivaldi?
I've heard of Vivaldi. He has the Four Seasons, yes.
He's got hotels everywhere.
Paganini.
Wagner.
No. Wagner. I used to know all of their names, like their first name, too.
Flight of the Valkyries.
That's a great one.
Kill Wagner. The rabbit. Kill the rabbit.
Kind of a Nazi.
What?
Wagner.
Are you making that up? Are you?
The Nazis loved all his stuff.
That might.
He's
that doesn't
a Nazi.
Make him a Nazi because Nazis liked his stuff.
Wagner.
Hitler liked Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. Does that make whoever wrote that? Does that make Disney a Nazi?
Yeah, Disney was kind of a Nazi. Definitely anti-Semitic.
At number two, the Chiefs extended the contract of tight end Travis Kelce for two additional seasons, keeping the veteran tight end signed through 2027. A source said that the deal is worth $34.25 million, with $17 million fully guaranteed for this season.
Does that seem low, 17 mil a year for a tight end of his caliber? Doesn't it seem like tight end? I know tight end seems like an important position, does it not?
Certainly.
No, yeah, just.
Is it how many years?
Till 2027.
A two-year extension, right?
That would be 2026. Unless I've just forgotten. And is it 2024 or 2025 right now?
Four.
I'm doing the best I can over here, Smith. Between COVID and cancer and other things. Memory shot.
What does knowing what year it is right now have to do with your memory? Isn't that just a general awareness?
Orientation? They call it your orientation to...
I don't know what they call it. They call it 2024. That's the year right now.
Well, when you go in the hospital...
That's what it is.
It's like four things you have to be oriented. Like time, place, your name, situation.
Are you saying that
I'm oriented
you're just usually in a constant concussion check?
I've told you I keep myself in a constant state of confusion. It's 2024.
Who's the president?
Biden. Uncle Joe.
All right.
He's a bit daffy, but he's all right.
At number three, UAB football players say their entire roster has signed up for athletes.org, which makes them the first D1 football team to publicly join the Players Association. They were introduced to the group by their head coach, Trent Dilfer, who gathered the team for a voluntary meeting earlier this month to encourage them to prepare for a future in which athletes may be able to negotiate for a larger share of their sports revenue.
So what is it?
Then they currently have no revenue.
Yep. Unionization.
I'm sure the administration really appreciates their football coach taking that step.
Love it. But what choice does he have? Like, he has to.
Well, he could have just done nothing, like Heupel and every other big-time coach has done and just wait for the inevitable. Think he ran that one up the flagpole to his AD? Hey, I'm going to encourage all my players to unionize. Thoughts?
He's an interesting man. He's got Lipscomb Academy's football program in a bit of a pickle right now.
Why is that?
Well, they had that whole investigation where they had to fire the coach, and now they got a playoff ban.
Love that private school stuff. Dirty.
At number four, a quick look at some MLB games that will be happening later today. None going on currently. You've got the Yankees playing the Orioles at 6:35. It's a big
going down birds
division series right there. You got the Cubs playing the Mets at Citi Field.
Think your Cubbies are going to be able to beat the Mets?
I mean, if Tucker's Cardinals can handle...
The Cubbies are considerably better than the Cardinals this year.
Cubbies are having a nice little season.
They are.
There's a team probably playing over here at CBFO that's better than the Mets.
Cardinals and Tigers will not play today. That game will be made up tomorrow.
Is it raining?
Rain, yes. And the Braves play in Seattle at 9:40 p.m.
Road trip.
A late night game. Be watching that one.
You can hear it right here on Fan Run Radio.
And finally, at number five, we have a very important update on the warring monkey gangs in Thailand.
All right, I've been waiting for this. It's about time.
Last week, a group of human protesters put up posters in opposition of the monkeys that inhabit the streets of Lop Buri, saying they need to be rounded up, taken to zoos, different shelters, whatever.
So they're not protesting against the monkeys, telling the monkeys they need to self-deport. They're
protesting
to the authorities.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're putting up these signs, apparently.
But in an act of counter-protest, the monkeys tore down these signs and shredded them.
Yeah.
They shredded them?
Yes.
With what?
Their hands.
You know they got thumbs, right?
So the monkeys just... Wait a minute. Can the monkeys read?
Oh, you think you're going to put these signs up against us?
Evidently, they have some thought because maybe they're aware that the humans want to get rid of them from the streets.
So it's just context clues. They can sense the bad vibes, and they're like, nah.
Essentially.
Are the animals for us?
Wow. What a strange turn. And what would you rather have, these... The monkeys taking over, the anti-monkey protests, or the Chick-fil-A antifada up there at all the Ivy League schools, our best and brightest, out there marching for on the behalf of authoritarian regimes.
They have no idea what they're – have you seen those people?
Yeah.
Like the last
what are we doing here? I don't know. I thought you knew. Cool, brah.
We're going to rage. Did you bring your tent? Idiots. It's total idiots.
Oh, man. I would venture to guess that the monkeys are smarter than our protesters that we have here in the States.
I want to send
a close battle there.
You know what I want to see now is like Chicago 68, like Mayor Daley sending in the cops, crack some skulls. Gotta get some muscle over here.
Melissa Click is probably in one of the encampments right now.
Chick-fil-A and
thank you, Tucker. Quality top five of five. Keep me updated on this monkey thing.
I will.
Wait, what is the end game there? I mean, somebody's got to go in. You either go in there and you round up the monkeys and you, what do we call it when, you know, you dispose of them, we end them, we whatever you do to kill monkeys, or you relocate them to a jungle,
genocide.
Or you abandon the city and let the monkeys have it. Kind of feels like that's the way it's trending.
It's like the first step of human extinction in that city.
Monkey Land. I've seen this
movie,
actually.
Some type of ethnic cleansing program, Russell?
I mean, what do we do when you have a bunch of cats at the dumpster behind the McDonald's? What do you think happens there?
Honestly, the way these monkeys are acting, we might have reverse ethnic cleansing where they are the ones ethnic cleansing the humans.
Somebody hands him a gun at some point.
Planet of the Apes, I've seen
what it. What typically happens when a bunch of cats show up somewhere anymore is that pretty soon, it's a circle of life for us, pretty soon you're going to have a bunch of coyotes show up.
What'd you just say, Bear? Circle of life?
Yeah.
Oh, God. caught me with my pants
down.
Been
so long?
Yeah, I did, didn't I? That's what happens. My old neighbor used to have a feral cat problem. Then we had a coyote problem. The cat problem went away.
Yeah, is there a natural predator for the monkeys that wouldn't also be a danger to the local human population?
That would be the local human population. That's where the rub is. The monkeys kind of beefing.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm saying, could we get
is anybody figured out what it is the monkeys want? What are their demands?
Why don't you call them and ask?
They obviously don't.
Are you advocating that we negotiate with the monkeys?
I'd be a lot more willing to negotiate with these monkeys than I would any of these idiots up there at Columbia University.
I'd love to at least know. Yeah, what are they thinking? Maybe it's a simple fix.
I mean, call me crazy, but if you don't know what it is you're protesting, I have zero patience and time for you. You're a nuisance. You should be removed and flogged.
So some
nuisance?
Nuisance.
I've located a few potential predators. This is from an article in 2000. These would all be, I think, dangerous to humans.
A jaguar?
Leopards are on the list, yes. Tigers, sharks, crocodiles, snakes, dogs.
Release the sharks.
And weasels.
Weasels?
Weasels?
Yes.
A weasel is a predator to the monkey?
Well, what is it, a mongoose that can kill the cobras, right?
Yes. You ever seen weasels or like that family of rodents?
I'm not saying on like a
They're
very specific
incredibly
battle.
Skilled fighters. Vicious.
A weasel?
I get really, yeah. They move fast and they got sharp teeth.
Turn them loose. I mean, do you want your city back or not?
We got to clean these streets up.
I'm not sure which side I'm coming down on this one.
Yeah, arm the animals. What are you going to do? It's them or us, bro.
Do you want your homeland or not?
It's not my homeland, though.
What's
Where
the name
is this,
of the city?
Lopburi. Lopburi.
Lopburi.
In Thailand?
Yes.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
Over there in Bangkok.
Is it monsoon season? Is it rainy season over there right now?
What, you wanted to drown the monkeys?
No.
And they are everywhere in
well,
these pictures.
If they've lived there for so long, evidently they've adapted on how to survive the monsoons. Like,
what type of monkeys are they? Turn that around. Let me see that.
You guys see it from there.
Guys are able to walk the streets. I mean, it's not like they're attacking random humans. They're warring with each other, right? I mean, they've broken out into factions.
Yeah, they're
rival
they're
monkey gangs.
Yeah, like tribes of
they're,
sorts.
They're fighting each other. I mean, you could see how this would be disturbing to traffic patterns and local business operations and things like that. You're trying to get to work. You're trying to get to the hospital, do whatever it is you have to do. And all of a sudden,
aren't we all
sharing
this
street
planet?
Fight breaks out right in front of you.
I would be just fine serving as a spectator.
That's what I'm sitting here saying. Just roll up your windows and watch.
It's like Seriously. A very exciting version of sitting behind a passing train at a railroad crossing. You just get to see these monkeys go at it with one another.
Sitting yeah. behind a passing train at that's a railroad. Like, I'm like having most... trouble following your
Okay,
logic.
So basically, these monkeys are fighting in the streets, right? Yeah.
Oh,
you're stopped. So you're stopped.
You can't do anything
can't
but
do
watch
anything.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say sell tickets. Let's get this economy going in Lopburi.
Monkey wars?
Yes.
They are a cultural symbol
if,
there.
If we're going to do that, then we got to give them like
give them a share.
Brass knucks and let's give them weapons. Let's let them go at it.
Arm the animals.
So this is cockfighting,
pool
basically,
sticks.
What we're turning this
well,
into.
Well, we're not really starting the fight. We're just saying if you're going to do it.
Might as well publicize it.
Yeah, like you
freak
good-
you guys out at all the whole, are these things self-conscious? Self-aware?
The monkeys?
They're aware enough to rip down posters.
Yeah, did that not, that question, that thought never crossed your mind as they're ripping down the banners that's wanting them to get rounded up? You think if they just put up banners that said like free ice cream at such and such a place that they aren't going to, that they're just going to tear anything down? Or they recognize that they were monkeys?
I don't know what the prevalence of banners is in this place.
Apparently, the local food vendor scene has just been demolished.
Tough times for the local hot dog truck.
It seems almost every day they take my mangoes, says Pan Pukyu, who has sold fruit on the streets of Lopburi for more than 3 decades.
Yeah, I think your concession stands here at these hypothetical monkey brawls they're having in these stadiums, they might be raided by the monkeys themselves.
Well, the thing about monkeys is they're not very patient, so no. They'll come up and just grab a mango, and they're like, I'm not sticking around to pay, but they just walk out.
Just gone.
They're just grab and dash.
Gosh, they're big. They're bigger than you might think. I mean, that's no house cat.
How did this start? Did this start with somebody feeding the monkeys?
100% yes.
Well, these people feed the monkeys, like, regularly. Tourists, residents alike.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying. Like, there's one at the edge of the woods. You leave him a sandwich.
Feel like I'm sensing some hostility from you, Russ, towards these poor monkeys.
It's like
I don't like it.
The bears, you know, in the Smoky Mountains, they tell you don't feed the bears.
Dangerous for the bear.
It's dangerous for everybody.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden the bear is coming around places. That's how it started. You don't feed the cats. When the feral cat comes, say, oh, I'm just going to give it a little bit of milk. Okay, well, now guess what? That cat's going to be up
at
here every day. And guess what's going to happen? He's going to bring his friends.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what
how this
have?
Started.
That happened with a turkey in my neighborhood back home.
Somebody was feeding the turkey.
Yes, and then it just roosted, and then it got all territorial with the neighbor's dogs.
Oh, dear.
And they had to shoo it away.
You know the one thing they say you shouldn't run off?
Possums.
Possums and opossums.
I saw a possum today.
Thing.
No, they're not.
I went for a walk right before lunch. High noon, hot outside. Possum just crossing the street.
Could have rabies.
They eat ticks and snakes.
And mice.
And mice, yeah.
Apparently, the city has a plan to deal with the monkeys. Authorities hope to round up 2,500 of the urban monkeys and place them in massive enclosures. They'll work with
concentration camps.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah. They'll work with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay in the city. Everyone
They're
else
just saying
to
that.
The cages.
Well, the monkeys can reproduce, and that won't be an issue for
them. It doesn't sound like a good plan to me.
Well, since we're
They're prioritizing
fully down
the alpha males,
fully off
fraught
the rails
with a number of problems.
Animal world, did you guys hear about this dumbass that found a bunch of tadpoles and decided to save them? Because he's a bleeding heart idiot like me, and put him in his pond in his backyard.
Is it just Frog City now?
It's caused an ecological disaster.
I did see this. Yeah,
invasive species, man.
See
the video?
He ruined the neighborhood.
It's just ruined. Yeah, everybody's losing their rear ends on their houses because this idiot.
You're gonna have to kill all of them.
Mike says, "Urban Monkeys sounds like a '90s grunge band."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do have a couple different monkeys. Yeah, there's a couple different monkeys. You have them, and then the fake band, the Monkees from the 1960s.
They weren't a fake band, my friend.
Weren't they created?
They're
though?
Kind of fake.
Yeah,
they were made for TV, but they were all musicians.
Yeah, like that thing you do.
They took Jimi Hendrix out on tour.
Coming up, I want to get back to this municipality's plan to deal with the monkeys. I don't feel like they've thought this all the way through. Also want to talk about 3 Vols going in the draft. Who will have the best career amongst Jalen Wright, Joe Milton, and Kamala Bin Haden? We will discuss when we continue. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Yeah, late night Braves baseball coming up tonight at the 9:45 first pitch against the Mariners in Seattle right here on
1340 and 105.7 FM in Knoxville.
I will be tuned in. I don't have to get up early tomorrow.
Tennessee football undrafted free agents roll through the list. This is what we have so far per Adam Sparks over at KnoxNews.com. McCollin Castles is a Philadelphia Eagle. Ramel Keaton signs with the Raiders. Jacob Warren going to the Patriots, where he'll still be catching passes from Joe Milton. Maybe. D. Williams signing with the Seahawks as a return specialist. He can make that team. I don't know what their return situation is like, but if they have any sort of question mark, and D. Williams, especially with the new rules and everything, and teams putting more of a premium, there's some thought that the Titans taking the guy from Tulane might figure into their return game a little bit as well. Jalen McCullough signing with the Rams. Jeremiah Crawford goes to the Panthers, where he'll play with
Cade Mays.
Gabe Judy Lollipop going to my Titans. And Aaron Beasley has signed with the Seattle Seahawks as well. So he and D. Williams will have a friendly face in that locker room.
Excellent.
Now we'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of these things are you bring them in for OTAs. It doesn't work out. They're not the guy you thought they were. You let a guy go. You pick up a guy. I know there's been a lot of talk with the Titans. They didn't really address safety. And there's a couple of safeties out there on the free agent market that they might still bring in, as well as offensive linemen. I can't remember the guy Rex Rowe told us about that's kind of sitting out there basically just waiting on a call from the Titans in case the Latham thing isn't as good as we were hoping it will be.
That's comforting. Hey, if our first round pick that we got at 7 doesn't pan out, don't worry, we've got a guy. Well, if you got a guy, never mind. I don't want to get into it. It doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
I'm operating under the assumption that Latham is going to be good until he's not.
I mean, I think he can play a position on your offensive line and play it well, but if it's not left tackle, it's like, then what are you doing?
They don't grow on trees, Chris.
Same thing the Titans are doing. Oh, no. I got confused there.
You mean the Vols?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking the exact same thing, actually, because you had that whole issue.
Some similarities
where
Gerald
Mitzi doesn't want to play the position. What if Latham doesn't want to play the position eventually? Well, not saying he won't.
It's the NFL. I don't care. You're going to try it.
We're paying you millions and millions of dollars. This is your job. I don't know why you wouldn't want to. I mean, if you're a left tackle, you're going to get paid more than
I was
going to
say, if you play it and play it well,
when it comes contract time, right?
Mm-hmm. Left tackle. Premium position.
Yeah. It's up there with – it's one of the few that's close to some of the skill those high-dollar skill positions.
Any of these undrafted guys, you think could catch on, make an impact?
I think Castles has a pretty good shot. I don't think we got to see all that he was capable of.
I wish we had him for one more year.
I know. I thought he was a pretty good player, but especially when Nico was in there, they seemed to have a nice little chemistry. Nico threw 2 touchdown passes last year. Both were to McCollin Castles. And I just don't think – I don't know if it was maybe because of Joe or the way the offense was set up. We didn't seem to utilize the tight end hardly at all last year. But Heupel's first year, we really did. Mm-hmm. First 2 years, really.
I think that – I like that one. The other one is Beasley with the Seahawks. I could see him being a special teams demon and maybe.
He's not afraid to hit.
Maybe he finds a spot on the field. I mean, he was always productive for us.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's good. The Raiders. I'm going to give that one a maybe. That's just
he just doesn't have a very good quarterback, does he?
No.
Aiden O'Connell or David Carr?
No.
No, he's long gone now.
It's O'Connell and...
Not Carr.
Minshew?
No. It's Minshew.
It is Minshew. Yeah.
Well, we think about Spencer. I'll tell you one we haven't talked about. What about Spencer Rattler?
Where did he end
Saints?
Up?
Saints. Oh. Trey Wallace's who dat?
I saw where Wee Man was apoplectic on Twitter because... one of the draft gurus was talking about.
I saw some of this,
The knocks, the narrative on Rattler about him not being a good teammate, not being a hard worker. all this stuff, and Beamer very upset about it.
Did you see him rage out in their spring game when they had the whole special teams mishap with the play clock? Oh, it's hilarious.
Well, didn't he lose his special teams guru, the guy who was like his right-hand man, took off?
I forget where he went.
Didn't
but
he curse at the official?
A Beamer?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the official or if it was just the players.
No, I thought it was, well, because the ump comes in and says, you know, like third and fifth or fourth and 15 or whatever after the penalty. And he says, I think he might have said, like, shut the bleep up, ump.
Really?
I was like, oh, ump. Shane, mild-mannered wee man, so kind and nice.
He's not very mild-mannered.
You watch this year, because I don't think they're going to be very good at all. He's going to have some spaz out moments. He's
muscle champisms.
Yeah, this will be the year that everyone's like, oh, I thought Shane Beamer was such a nice guy. Nope.
Who's the quarterback there this year?
Lenoris Sellers is the guy's name. He's got the specs. He's wearing the specs.
Lenoris. Who the heck is Lenoris Sellers?
Bingo.
They've been going crazy about that guy for a while. They've really wanted to see him start.
And why didn't they start him?
He's like Nico Light for them.
And we don't get to play them this year.
No.
Nope.
Man, I'm kind of disappointed we don't get to play them because they kind of suck, and it would be nice to go up in their house and watch Nico hang half a hundred.
I'm like, that's a rivalry that we've had for what, you know, over 30 years now. It's kind of built itself into a pretty good hatred.
Well, that one in Missouri is the one I'm really disappointed that we did. Oh, man, we owe them that smarmy little
Yeah, neither of those for the next 2 years.
I would not be shocked just looking at their schedule now if South Carolina did not finish the year 4-8.
Somebody pointed out to me that Drinkwitz looks a lot like Miller, and I can't unsee it now.
I kind of see it, but I'd have to see Miller with blonde hair or Drinkwitz with dark hair.
I'm telling you, it's there.
They both do that whole wide-eyed thing.
Shout out to the 37 Club, chatting it up on the 37 Club Discord message board in there right now. Justin Hannah points out nobody would remember the Young Rock if it weren't for the fanny pack, an iconic photo of the Young Rock with the turtleneck and the chain. Not exactly a picture of early 90s fashion, but I don't think anybody was saying anything to him either. He was rocking the fanny pack.
Yes.
6 foot, 4.5, Samoan, borderline NFL talent, football player.
Dylan Vol 16 says maybe Bear can donate some money to help these monkeys.
Well, thank you, Dylan. I already donate to various animal charities.
Why don't you just give that money to me? I'll take you out back, kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it even. Same effect.
Not really. No, it's not.
I don't think whoever the mayor is, what is the town again?
Lopbury.
I don't think that they have – where are they going to build these monkey camps? Who's going
to – a large enclosure outside
the
city.
No, there's no damn enclosure. It's no different than my old man told me that, you know, he was
– monkey prison.
We had a dog that had to go to the farm.
You don't think there's going to be monkey camps?
I don't think there was any damn farm that crazy dog we had went to.
Your childhood Old Yeller traumatic situation notwithstanding, you don't think there's a Lopbury monkey farm? You think this is just the mayor saying we're going to take these monkeys out in the woods and kill them and bury them in a mass grave?
You got a better chance of coming back from the gravel pit with that crazy governor up there.
What exactly?
Killing a dog.
Do we know what the outdoor enclosures look like? Is this like you go to the zoo and you see what are those the monkeys they have at the Knoxville Zoo? That's their best attraction now. But it's basically a net over the top of it.
I would assume it'd be something like that, but maybe not like mesh netting, but like a fence.
I know zoos are a part of the plan here.
Yeah, because it's not like these
some
monkeys.
Will be placed in the zoo.
Yes.
A limited number will be protected and allowed to live in the city. The rest will go to, as this article says, monkey jail.
So are we going to – the ones that are left behind and live to the – like, how do you get that? That seems like – do you have to pass some sort of civil service test? Do you have to have papers? They stop the monkey and say, hey, man, you're not supposed to be here. Off to monkey jail.
I guess that's how we know if they are self-conscious and can think for themselves.
I can't believe you guys are buying that there's some jail, quote unquote.
I can't believe that your mind immediately goes to, well, there can't be a jail. It must be mass monkey executions in the countryside.
Wow. Apparently in 2014 to 2023, they captured, sedated, and neutered 2,600 male monkeys.
Well, that's something you could do too.
And part of the monkey jail will include targeting alpha males for the jail. That's really good. Put a bunch of alpha male monkeys together in a prison.
Well, they're just going to neuter them, right? They won't be alphas anymore. Mm-hmm. Half the monkey.
No, they've already done this. I'm assuming they'll keep doing that. The enclosures are not finished, but officials have already launched an official, that was a double official there, monkey catching campaign. They've caught, they've caught 37 in a week.
Oh, 37.
That's what it says.
Could you imagine tangling with one of those damn things?
The videos I've seen, I don't think 37 is making a dent.
No, I don't think so either.
How many are there at last count? Thousands?
Oh, yeah, thousands.
So what are these guys? Essentially just dog catchers for monkeys?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
They got a truck they're throwing them in the back of, a little van, paddy wagon.
They'll be shooting them with 22s before you know it. Watch.
Apparently, this got out of hand after a lady dislocated her knee after being pushed over by a monkey who wanted her food.
Sad. That's right, John. Wow, you'll find your own food.
It's all fun and games until a monkey comes up and smacks you over the head, steals your sandwich.
See, that's the problem.
Takes off running down the street.
They don't have any trees to eat off of.
I was on your side until you tried to take my double, my Dave special.
The monkey's got to eat. Who's feeding these monkeys?
You can find your own food.
What do you got there, McChicken? Give me that.
I mean, that lady was selling her mangoes.
Not for long. Then she started giving it away because they were stealing it.
Coming up, baseball's back in action tomorrow over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and then it's a road trip. Back-to-back SEC road trips for the baseball Vols. We have reached a pivotal point in the season. All is going well right now, but you're playing a Florida team that was top five coming into the season. The Gators have struggled mightily since, but very talented team in Gainesville this weekend, three-game set, and then at Vanderbilt in the big, I think it's safe to say, probably our biggest baseball rival on the road the week after. We will discuss it when we continue. More Fan Run Radio coming up after the break. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Sing it, Bear.
No thanks.
Come on, Anglophile Bear. Please sing it for us.
Sing it in a saucy British accent.
Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about your mom.
You talking to me, Smith?
How are you going to kill his – he was singing. Yeah. Killed his music.
Hard for me to stay in tune.
Because it was running out.
Tennessee, running out of season here at baseball. You realize we are less than a month away from selection Sunday in college baseball?
I was just checking out. I was looking at Vanderbilt ticket prices at the break, and it did dawn on me.
Getting down to it, it dawned on me when I was sitting out there in the sun Saturday. I realized, oh, man, Lindsey Nelson, it is hot, man. So you ever been in there for that last series of the week? I remember this when I was a little kid going over there to see them play Florida at the very end of the season. This is back in the Todd Helton days and thinking, this is not fun because it's too hot over there. Got a little sun Saturday at the ballpark.
Yes, you did. You did a really good job. But not a great job.
Not a great job.
That little sliver.
Well, it was supposed to be overcast all day Saturday.
It was to start, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm putting on the sunscreen, and, you know, I wish I hadn't looked at the – I would have just lathered up, but I did kind of a half-assed job, missed a spot, and I'm sitting there during the game, and it's hot, that sun's out, and I know I missed a spot. I know I'm going to get home, and sure enough, it's about 9 o'clock Saturday night.
Just the red streak around
like
the net.
Red, this feels a little raw back there. Go in the mirror and just, oh, no. And I get mad at myself when I get sunburned now. I'm just like, you dumbass. You idiot. Why didn't you – why would you do that to yourself? But anyway, they'll survive, hopefully. Tennessee gets the sweep against a Missouri team that, you know, not very good. I don't think we beat our chests about it too much, but – it is good to get the sweep, to win two close games, 3-2, back-to-back Friday and Saturday.
That's what I was going to say. I guess I kind of thought maybe the series would go like game one went. But you got yourself put in a couple spots where you had to pitch well, you had to defend well because the bats weren't really, you know, they weren't clipping like they normally have been. And I think that's – we know as the season goes on, as we get into the postseason, you're going to be into some close games. It was nice to see it. Now, again, it's Missouri, like you said. Don't beat your chest. They're not very good. But you had some chances to lose those games and let some things kind of get out of control, and they didn't do that. So credit to them for that. But I'd like to get those bats woken up a little bit before we head to Gainesville.
Pitching was on point.
Pitching was good.
Now, we talked about the number one overall seed Jinx, and we're getting close to it. Both Arkansas and Texas A&M have difficult schedules. We got a difficult schedule. There's a lot of baseball to be played here. These next two series, on the road at Florida, on the road at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt having a nice season. They are 11-10, 31-13 overall.
They did lose their series this weekend.
Who were they playing there?
Mississippi State.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Florida, they just they're struggling. 9-12, 22-21. But we know the talent that's on that team. They were in the championship series of the College World Series last year. They've got Jack Caglione back, who might be the best player in college baseball. You look at these next two series. Would you take 3-3 right now? A split in these over these next six conference games, or are we to the point where we're so greedy we want to win both series?
I don't think it's greedy. I just think this team's good.
I thought we've got 9 left.
Well, he's talking about just the next two.
These next two series.
Vandy and Florida.
I'm not taking 3-3.
I won't be overly disappointed with 3-3, but
I'll take 4-2.
I'll roll the dice.
Would it be – and again, this is – testament to the program that Tony has built here, but we're nitpicking to such a degree where it's like we don't want to be the number one overall seed.
And all we used to worry about was what Rusty used to say, don't get swept. Remember those days?
Yeah, to avoid that, to avoid being the number one seed and all that comes with that, all that bad mojo, you're going to have to lose a couple. If we keep winning series, we probably will be the number one seed. I would venture to guess heading into that tournament. Texas A&M and Arkansas play each other at the end of the season. So somebody's going to lose a series the last weekend of the season.
I think one of them are going to be the number one. So that's why I'm like,
yeah.
Would it be good for this program? We had the same conversation about basketball towards the end of the season. Would it be good to have a little adversity? To stub your toe a couple of times before we get to the postseason?
Well, if we do have adversity, I'm going to say it's a good thing. You can count on that.
Yeah.
Spin master over here
is
ready.
I want to win every game, but if you don't, it builds character, Russ.
I'll one-up you there. I'll say you can lose a couple of these games down the stretch and then just absolutely flame out in the SEC tournament. Just no show.
That's the one. I don't care if we go out the first day down there.
Well, Tennessee's going to be guaranteed two games in that the way they're projecting currently.
To win the first one and, you know, get beaten a close one in the second one, get home, let's get Let's get our staff's arms.
I'd say you don't even have to win a game.
Iced. Completely.
Just one and done. Go down there, tip your hat to the crowd, make an appearance.
Yeah, but what if you go and flame out in the regional at home?
I would feel bad for everyone who buys tickets to go to that. Like, I wish there was a way coaches could give the fans like a secret message, like before the SEC tournament, and
what, that they're going to tank.
It's like, hey, this is Rick Barnes. Just don't buy tickets. See ya.
We're
really excited about the regional that we're hosting.
Well, that is the thing about our cut. There's no way in hell. I just could never see Vitello willingly not trying to win. They're going to try and win games.
Do you ever think conference tournaments, basketball and baseball, might be in jeopardy in this new age, new world order of college sports we're getting set to enter into?
I think they probably ought to be.
I don't know if they're going to be in jeopardy per se. I do think that they're going to become optional.
You know what else? Here's where they ought to place these. As crazy as this is going to sound, single elimination and put them at the beginning of the season.
Well, like Daytona, play the big event before the season.
It'd be a great way to start the season, just baseball tournament.
It's not a terrible idea.
I love that idea, actually.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Let you see every team over the course of a long week before the season starts. I'd love that.
Do you think there would be a spotlight on it, though, because that's happening during basketball?
That would be
for the hardcores like us. It would.
Weather would be an issue too. Like you wouldn't want the SEC tournament to be played in 30 degrees.
You'd
be playing in a major league.
Yeah, you'd have to go to an indoor park,
or like Florida or something.
I mean, it'd bury Hoover, maybe.
I would love that, because you want it to mean something, but you don't want it. That's my problem with some of these tournaments: is you get to a point where teams have accomplished all they can,
their
seeding.
It's detrimental.
Yeah, it's detrimental, and that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's not fair. I mean, especially the really good teams are going to end up playing all those games.
And it's weird for the fans because they are such great events. People love going to Hoover. People love going to Nashville for the SEC tournament now that it's there, and people have a lot of fun, and they like rooting on their teams. But we also know when we're there and we're rooting on our teams that it's probably not a great thing to keep winning and playing a bunch of games.
Could happen to Auburn this year in basketball. They got runt. Won the championship.
I think if you're Tony, you plan on – I mean, I might – I don't know. What you do with Drew Beam, do you – because you don't want to save him for the weekend – you don't want to pitch him in the first game and then lose and feel like, well, why did we pitch him at all?
Yep.
Let's feel like you start maybe Xander or Causey or somebody that first game, start being the second game. And if at that point everybody's into their bullpen anyway, it doesn't matter if you're hitters, I don't think. I don't think guys get tired of swinging the bat or playing the field or anything like that.
No, I don't think so either.
But it's just pitching. And this year – I mean, it's fair to say that we are a pretty good pitching team, but it's also fair to say that we're a little short on pitching.
Well, and
it's not necessarily the deepest staff we've had.
You build your bullpen and your lineups for a three-game weekend series, and then you get to Hoover, and it's a bigger deal than you're.
You got to have more arms.
Yeah, exactly. Then you've got to dig into guys who haven't thrown that much. Which the year we won it, you know, you pulled Camden Sewell out of there. Like, you got some other guys, you got really good innings out of them, and you won it, and it was awesome. I
think it was interesting. Drew Beam, who, by the way, got the Fan Run mojo with a great 100 pitch performance.
Our DMs are open. Anybody else on the team that wants to get that lift?
Yeah, we're working on that for this week. But I thought it was interesting in that interview we had with him last week where he admitted to getting burned out his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Arm fatigue. Hey, we do need to address this. Jeremy on Twitter brought up a really good point.
Does it have to do with the monkeys?
No.
No.
Okay. No call from Brad and the Follett concerning Curley's performance so far this year. The silence is deafening. The emperor has no clothes, Brad. Your argument is not only stupid, it's ridiculous. It It's not based in reality.
Brad and La Follette makes me laugh a lot.
This baseball takes.
See what I did there?
No, uh-huh. I got it.
Yep, yeah. I got it.
Tucker loved that joke, by the way. Tucker was like, oh, I got it.
I don't. Anyhow.
Laugh you don't like it or you don't get it?
No. Man, it's a dad joke. God, you really?
By the way, Dean Curley was good enough this weekend to talk to the media after the game.
Oh, Curley. Talking to the media.
That his first time?
No, he had the whole near home run cycle for every game, I think he talked then too. But
does freshmen not usually get to talk?
No, they do.
That's a lot more of a thing now across all of our sports.
The freshmen getting to talk?
I feel like for years you rarely.
What would Dean say?
Tennessee freshman Dean Curley meeting with the media here. Go get him, Dean.
Hey, I'm Dean. I'm from California. I love swinging the bat.
Dean, you're not really holding up your end of the bargain in this interview. Because Dean wouldn't talk like that.
Stay with us. We got overtime headed your way next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3-6 right here on Fan Run Radio for Bear in Houston and Tucker. I am merely Russell Smith. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on The Drive.